God, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings. You are the ultimate provider. And you come through again and again and again for your people. And God, we just pray that those words spoken, you know, thousands of years ago, that they would be our words today. That we would be able to declare your faithfulness. We would be able to declare our trust in you. And that you would come through again and again for your people. God, we love you. And I pray today that you would instill a bit of your courage, a bit of your hope, a bit of your confidence in your people. That we'd be willing to get close to you and allow your Holy Spirit to reveal something to us fresh and encourage us. And I just pray today right now, Lord, that you would even start to remind your people of your faithfulness in the past. You remind your people of when you've come through for them, when you've answered prayer, when they've been desperate and crying for you and you have delivered the goods. I pray, Lord, that you would renew their confidence and trust in you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you what you have and are continuing to do in this place. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to look at the Psalm 71. Now, I was looking back and sometimes you think, oh, have I preached on Psalm 71 before? You know, that would help me out a little bit. But I don't often preach on Psalms. One of the readings from our prayer and fast of Feb, you know, less of me, more of him. And one of the, I think it was day two, it was Psalm 71. And I haven't been able to give up Psalm 71 in my quiet time devotions. I've just been, I suppose, attracted to this Psalm 71. And as that psalm was read, what were your initial thoughts? What was your initial feeling when those words were spoken? What did it challenge you about or encourage you or speak to you about? Just throw them out. Well, when that was read, what was your sort of understanding or take from that? What do you think it's about? Relying on God and everything, yep. You're my rock and my fortress, yeah. What else? Yeah, a prayer and commitment to only turn to Him. What else? Trust through intimacy with Him. Yeah. What else? I suppose this whole, you know, when we're doing this 21-day prayer and fasting, the idea is that we actually make time to spend with Him. And I was thinking, you know, the less of me, the more of Him. It's a link. It's if you go to salvos.org. The link will be on there. And there's a reading. But this is a powerful, I think, reminder to God's people, but also to David. I'll give you a bit of background on this. There's debate. I was reading all this, you know, about Psalm 71. There's debate who wrote it. But most scholars suggest that it was David. And actually, it's not titled. Psalm 71 is not titled. It's actually, they think, a flow-on from Psalm 70. And the reason they think it's David's, or more most likely David's, is over 90%, I think 95% of actually this psalm is repeated psalms previously. So either someone stole David's words and they put them in for themselves, or actually David was just reminding himself of psalms that he'd previously written. And there's this flow to this psalm. David's whole life was like this. He puts trust in God. He praises God. He goes through hardship and a battle and pain. And then he gives it to him and he's like, woe me, things are terrible. And then at the end, God comes through. And guess what happened? David praises the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's like this flow that continually goes through. The also thing, David... I don't want to say he's in a midlife crisis, but remember, David wasn't old. He says, when I am old, when? So he's saying, I'm not old yet. But then he talks about his youth, when I was young, when I was in my mother's womb. So he's not young and he's not old. And I don't want to defer what that age is and that middle age. You can work that out yourself. But basically, he's saying he's somewhere in the middle. He's somewhere in the middle of his life. He says, when I'm old, I don't do anything until I've declared you to the next generation. So the next generation for him hasn't come in a part that he could impart his knowledge about God. So he's in this sort of middle phase of life. He's known what it was to battle. He knew what it was to face hardship and pain. But you know what? And people were against him. He's the king. People are against him. Countries want to kill him. He's in this sort of hard part of life. The first part is the challenge, and he just declares, I will put my trust in you. In you, Lord, I take my refuge. Be my rock and refuge in verse 3. In verse 4, deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked. If you look at David's life, he was trusting God when he was simply a shepherd boy. He was trusting God when he played the harp to Saul. He was trusting God when he went out to Goliath and took 5 measly stones and slain a giant. He was trusting God when King Saul was jealous of him and wanted to kill him. And he had an opportunity to kill Saul to save his life, but he didn't touch God's appointed. He was trusting God through every single phase of his life. He made mistakes, but he was trusting God. And we see here again in the psalm, it's coming back to a declaration of trust. The question I want to ask you this, are you trusting God today? Not just with some things, but with everything. Are you trusting God with everything, every part, every worry and concern today? Then you go verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and it goes, for you have been my hope, you know, sovereign Lord, my confidence since youth. From birth, I've relied on you. He remembers himself about how good it was and what he has done in the past to succeed, which was to put his trust in God. And in verse 7, he says something in particular. He goes, I have been a sign to many. So now David is well known. Everyone knows about King David. He's been a sign to many. And it says, you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full with your praise. David has put his faith and trust in God since he was a young, which has put him in a good position in life. When you trust God, it will put you in a great position in life. And for David in particular, it put him in a position to be king. And I'm not saying that if you trust God, God's going to make you a king or a queen. But I am saying if you trust God, he will put you in the best position in your life to succeed and to be the best you that you can be. If you want to be the best you that you can be, if I want to be the best Mark that I can be, if you trust God in absolutely everything, it will help you be the best you that you can be. Who actually wants to be the best person they can be for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yep. Ask again, just straight up, right? If God's looking down right now and he wants to see, okay, who actually wants to be the best person they can in Jesus' name, who's going to glorify me and everything, and he wants to see everyone's hands raised? Yep, okay, that's good. That's what he wants to see. You want to be the best you can be. And I can tell you this, if you want to be in that position, the best position that you can be in to be the best you that you can be, it's trusting God. It's number one. If you will not trust God, you cannot be the best you that you can be. And it's a simple thing, but it's a huge thing. So often I trust him in this area, but I won't trust him in this area. I'll trust you in this area, God, but this area I'm not so sure about. If you want to be in a great position in life, we need to learn how to trust God in all and through all. And we see that in David. And then we go on verse 10, 11, 12. And this is where he says, for my enemies speak against me. Do not be far from me, God. Come quickly to help me. He's desperate. He is under the pump. He's either got enemy or countries coming to kill him. Something's under pressure. He could have some people, you know, sort of backstabbing him. We don't know exactly. But we see right here, he is in trouble and he realizes, you know what? I need God's intervention. Ever been there? Ever been a place in your life where you, man, I need God's intervention. I need God to rock up today or I am in trouble. Anyone been there? Yeah. And he finds himself in this position again and again and again and again. And what does he choose to do? Verse 1, he will take his refuge and trust God. So whatever situation you find yourself in, we learn to trust God. This week, I took another couple of hours. I walked out in the bush and had some stillness and some time, some quietness. And God was revealing some stuff to me, which was awesome. And one of it was, I think he revealed to me after a while, and talk about our bit of a focus today was about the hardship and justice, that's what we're called to do. And I shared a little while ago that Platform 9, they do crisis accommodation for women experiencing domestic violence. And God answered a prayer and they got a place in the Sutherland Shire to accommodate probably 10 to 12 families. And you know what else? They're copping heaps of neighbor abuse. They're copping heaps of neighbor abuse. People abusing them. We don't want this in our own backyard. Everyone wants to help someone. Everyone wants to help someone, but they don't want it to affect them. And I was thinking, what does it actually look like? What does it actually look like when we actually speak up for injustice and actually speak up for the individual who needs someone to, you know what? You know what's going to happen is God's going to bless us, but I can tell you this, people are going to get it back up against the army. If we start realistically doing what God has called us to do, you know, when you shared, Claire, about, and it was just such a reminder, when William Booth brings his son in and sees all these people who are drunk and all these people who are homeless, and he says, these are my people, you know, are we willing? Like, that's the war and that's the challenge ahead for us. So, you know, I've copped abuse on for all sorts of different things, for helping people in the community from time to time over the phone. And you know what? And I go home and I'm frustrated about it and I'm thinking, you know what? We're just doing what God calls us to do. And you know what God revealing to me? He goes, Mark, are you willing to cop more of that? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am. Is that what God's called us to do? To stick up for the marginalized? To help those who need it? A leg up, to journey with people. If it's going to cost us that, you know what? It's not going to cost, when I say us, it's going to cost you that. And I was thinking, so it doesn't, whatever challenge or obstacle you face right now, things might be going great for you right now, which is awesome. Run with it. But whatever challenge, obstacle you face in life, whether it's a challenge about health, or it's just trying to, everything's overwhelmed, you know what? Trust God. And we see in verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, there's this praise, there's this adoration from David. He just lifts his name up. You know, words like, as for me, I will always hope, have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. There's this time when he just reminded, okay, I've got all this stuff going on. I'm all worried and all concerned, but you know what? I don't care about that. It's because I'm going to praise you and I'm going to lift you up. Praise will do something about your situation and circumstances. You know what praise does? When we praise, it actually hands our situation and circumstances over to someone much bigger, much more powerful. And he can handle it. When we praise, it just casts off these things that are on us and it hands it over to him. Does that make sense? Praise is very powerful. And then the last part in verses 20, 21, 22, 23, he goes on again. And he says, though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, though you have been through hard times, though you have been through hardship, though you've been hurt, he says this, though you've been, he goes, you will restore my life again. God's not finished with you. God's not finished with you. You may have made mistakes. God's not finished with you. He's going to restore you. He's going to restore you. He's in the business of restoration, in transformation. He says, from the depths of earth, you will again bring me back. You will increase my honor. And it goes on, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, whom have delivered me. David chose to praise God. This is a constant theme of his life. He chose to praise God before he had answered prayer. He chose to praise God and to give him glory before God answered his prayer. There's something very powerful about that. But also, David, it was so good that you praised before your prayer. You're a man of faithfulness. But hang on a second. And then I was thinking, these are all repeated psalms. These are all repeated psalms. He already knew that God was going to come through, because when he prayed and he wrote psalms before, he came through again. So David was actually just remembering that God, through those all those times before, he'd come.